The nation's largest industrial bankruptcy ever.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. General Motors this morning officially filed papers in a New York courtroom for Chapter 11 protection. President Obama speaks about it at noon Eastern time today. Let's check in live with reporter Tamara Keith, who's covering this story from Marketplace. Tamara, good morning.
Good morning.
So what's the president likely to talk about?
Well, he's going to tell us that the Treasury is injecting another $30 billion into GM, which will see it through the bankruptcy. And when it emerges, the government is going to have a 60% share. But I'm pretty sure that he's going to make it clear to the American public, try to assure folks that he doesn't intend to stay in the car business forever. The government wants to get out of there as quickly as possible. But he's going to say that this was probably the best option given the alternatives.
And Tim Geithner mentioned that in China today, as a matter of fact, about not wanting to stay in the car business. Yeah, GM going into this bankruptcy, a big company with a lot of debt. But what's the administration saying will come out on the other side?
Well, it's going to be a smaller company with less debt. It'll be what, you know, sort of a good GM, a leaner company, fewer factories, fewer dealerships and employees. And it will have a different fiscal structure. The hope is that it will have a better chance of competing in this new economic reality where people just aren't buying as many cars. We're also starting to get more details about plant closings. There will be about 14 of them closed or indefinitely mothballed, and one will be retooled to build a small car.
And GM is talking about fewer brands, right?
Yes, it's going to stick with its core brands, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Pontiac is out. Hummer and Saturn have sort of a hazy future at this point. And there will also be fewer dealerships. About 40% of them are expected to be wound down over the next 18 months.
All right. Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Tamara, thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And by the way, Chrysler has been cleared for its asset sale to Fiat. It hopes to emerge from its own bankruptcy later this week. A lot of reorganization papers flying around, so we asked the question, where's Wall Street? Wall Street's up at this hour. As a matter of fact, the Dow right now up 1.5%, 132 points at 8632. Same for the NASDAQ and S&P 500, both up more than 1.5%. By the way, the Dow's trading in a couple of former heavy hitters and adding Cisco Systems and Travelers Insurance. It's getting rid of Citigroup and GM, effective June 8th. European shares are up 1% to 3% right now. Asian markets closed higher, 1% to 4%. Some positive manufacturing news there. Let's talk with Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith, Moore & Company. She's joining us live from St. Louis this morning. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So we know Wall Street factored this GM bankruptcy in months ago, but what are the longer-term implications here?
Oh, sense of impending pain, because anytime the government steps in as an equity owner, auto suppliers, airlines, banks, insurance companies, it's going to raise the cost of issuing debt for everybody, because in bankruptcy, you're no longer at the top of the heap as you have been in the past. And then longer term, car sales are going to be very weak here. General Motors has been declining for years, but right now we're looking at about 9.5 million cars being sold. They hope to recover to 12 to 13 million, but foreign competition is going to be huge. So this is an industry that's headed for long-term restructuring.
So, Julie, Chrysler is a private company. GM is public. Quickly, with that, how realistic is it for GM to exit bankruptcy pretty fast?
They're hoping for some speed, but that's being optimistic because bondholders agreed to the sweetened terms, unions agreed, but it's the most complex in history, and it's going to be full employment for all those legal specialists, and it will take a longer time than they're anticipating, not the 30, 60, 90 days that they're hoping for.
All right, Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith, Moore & Company, joining us live from St. Louis. Thank you, Julie.
You bet.
Ford apparently sees the GM and Chrysler bankruptcies as an opportunity. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning it plans to ramp up production by 10% in the third quarter. Juxtapose that with plans from the others, plant closures, layoffs you heard about. And that's in stark contrast to the other automakers' plans of shutting down plants while they get affairs in order. So those affairs, of course, including the U.S. government. And Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan joins us to talk about its role in all of this. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So if I'm fellow American carmaker Ford and I see, you know, crosstown rivals Chrysler and GM getting all this government help, what am I thinking?
For Ford, Ford made a decision years ago to hack everything it owned and borrowed a lot of money and is using what's left of that borrowed money to ride this out. And they're afraid, and rightly so, that they're competing with companies, we'll say the new GM, whatever that is, and the new Chrysler, that have had most of their debts wiped away, that have been financed by the government, that don't have many of the obligations that Ford has. And, you know, if I were Ford, I'd say this is unfair. On the other hand, Ford at least gets to do what it wants without having to listen to every idiot in Congress who babbles about green. So at least they get to run their own business, you know, which is a huge advantage.
Do you think the government will be true to its word that, hey, we're not in this for the long haul, we're just here to help?
Yeah, right. We're just here to help. Already you hear it in Washington. Well, the companies are going to do this. The companies are going to do that. They've taken taxpayer money. I mean, the minute the government tries to run a competitive entity like an auto company, life gets much more complicated. And I still think I'd rather be Ford trying to make my own way than be in better financial shape at GM or Chrysler, but have to deal with the government every 13 seconds.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Monday, June 1st, 2009, at Marketplace.org. We're going to hear from President Obama today on GM's bankruptcy, and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner already talked about it a little today to an audience in China. Geithner says it's a takeover that won't last very long. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Geithner told a crowd at Peking University the U.S. government is just a temporary caretaker for General Motors. He said he expects GM to emerge quickly from bankruptcy stronger and eventually move on without government assistance.
Our objective is to make sure we're limiting our involvement to the minimum necessary and that we get out of those involvement as quickly as we can.
Since that involvement means the government putting another $30 billion into GM, the upshot is more borrowing and a bigger and shakier budget deficit, which doesn't sit well with China. It's invested $1 trillion in U.S. bonds and wants assurances they're secure. In Beijing today, Geithner said Chinese financial assets in the U.S. are very safe, at which point some members of the audience reportedly laughed. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Hurricane season officially begins today. The National Hurricane Center is predicting 9 to 14 named storms. 7 of those could be hurricanes. But there's also a storm brewing in the halls of Congress about the government's role in protecting vulnerable coastal communities. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
Florida Representative Ron Klein has reintroduced a bill that would stabilize rising insurance premiums in coastal areas. The bill would create a federal catastrophe fund that would kick in the event of a major disaster like Katrina. But Ed Hopkins with the Sierra Club says the program would essentially subsidize insurance premiums in the riskiest places.
Insurance costs have gone up greatly in coastal regions, and there's a reason for that.
Many insurers think coastal properties have simply become too risky. Hopkins is part of a coalition of environmentalists and conservatives opposing the bill. Instead, they're backing an alternative proposal that would use $200 million in FEMA funds to reinforce existing homes to withstand stronger hurricanes. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Let's call it Tonight Show 5.0, or Tonight 5G. Conan O'Brien takes over as host of NBC's Late Night Money Machine starting tonight after the late news. Much has been made about Jay Leno moving into primetime next fall, but the stakes for Conan are even higher. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
NBC doesn't need to worry about ratings tonight. Millions of people will tune in to watch The New Guy. But will they stick around?
Conan may alienate some of the audience that the Tonight Show has typically had.
That's Sam Armando with Starcom Worldwide, an ad buying agency. He says Conan's competitors are circling. TBS is set to launch a new late night talk show, and don't forget that gap-toothed New York joker.
Welcome to the show. My name is Dave.
Brad Adgate is with Horizon Media. He says people already know David Letterman's shtick.
Letterman will still be second in the time period behind O'Brien, and these cable shows will rank behind that.
Adgate expects ad rates for The Tonight Show will remain in the $35,000 to $50,000 range, but because of the lousy economy, all late-night advertisers might be asking for a discount next fall. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Pixar rules again. Its animated action comedy Up was number one at the box office this weekend. We take you now to a movie theater in Fremont, California, that for years has said, we don't need the big hits from Hollywood. We've got Bollywood. Reporter Karen Wise reports on the ups and downs of targeting an immigrant market.
Shiraz Jivani remembers the first time he saw a Bollywood movie on an American big screen. It was 1991, and large numbers of Indian engineers were moving to Silicon Valley. Many came under H-1B visas for high-skilled workers.
There were so many H-1s were coming in. They're a little homesick. They need a place which is a home away from home. And I said, the demographic makes sense.
So Jivani bought the theater and started targeting those tech workers. Soon, his Bollywood films had lines around the block. Business was so good, he eventually moved so he could expand to 8 screens. His theater serves chai tea and samosas, along with popcorn, and he's got a lock on the Bollywood market.
You don't really get to see Bollywood movies on our side of town, but you can always count on getting them here.
Sapna and her husband drove across the San Francisco Bay to catch a movie. She's originally from New Delhi, but she now lives near Palo Alto working for a large software company. The pair are munching on an Indian treat as they waited for a friend.
It's pan, it's a mouth freshener with like a betel leaf and like cardamom and rose syrup and stuff inside.
Customers like Sapna kept business rolling for more than a decade until the downturn began.
2008 was pretty bad year. 2009 hasn't started out on a very good leg.
Jivani says business is down nearly 50%. The recession's making the theater face one specific challenge.
A lot of Indians, a lot of H-1s have gone back.
Jivani's trying to stay hopeful, and he's trying to diversify. Fremont's last mainstream theater closed in March, so now Jivani's talking with distributors about showing Hollywood films like Harry Potter this summer. After all, he regrets not playing one mainstream blockbuster last fall, Slumdog Millionaire. In Fremont, California, I'm Karen Wise for Marketplace.
Some people look at Walmart with such contempt, and then others see dollar signs, or in this case, rupees. In India, there are rules that stop multi-brand retailers from selling to consumers, but those laws don't stop wholesalers. So Walmart plans to open 15 wholesale stores in the next 3 years with an Indian partner to sell to the people who will sell all those inexpensive goods. More at our website, the scratch pad there, and our online host and blogger, Scott Jaga. You can share your thoughts with him. Inside Marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.